We are crossing to Moscow now to speak to film director Vadim Perelman on the eve of the New Zealand release of his new movie, Persian Letters. It's a Holocaust survival story. It's set in France in 1942, and a Belgian Jew is arrested by SS soldiers and sent to a transit camp, and he manages to survive being executed by tricking the soldiers into believing that he's not Jewish, but he's Persian. And as fate would have it, the head of the camp dreams of opening a restaurant in Tehran after the war, and he needs someone to teach him Farsi. So that's the basic plot. I'll check that with Vadim. He joins us now. Good evening, Vadim.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing? You're in Moscow tonight.
Yeah, very well, yeah. How are you?
I'm good. Do you live in Moscow?
I'm in Moscow, yes, yes, in autumn Moscow.
Is that where you live?
No, no, no. I'm just here for a film festival.
I see. Is the film in the festival?
Well, not in competition. It was just, it had a screening and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about the movie. It's based on a true story, or you use the words that it's inspired by a true story. What's the genesis of the film?
Well, it was a short story written in 1952 in East Germany. And, you know, that's what it was inspired by, essentially. By Wolfgang Kohlhauser was the writer of it.
Based on fact or just a story?
You know, no one knows. That's actually the fascinating thing. Not even Wolfgang Kohlhauser, you know. But I'll tell you what, you know, there's been the most strange and incredible stories during the Holocaust, probably more incredible than ours. And so we felt that we were compelled to tell it and to have... and to have the whole thing, you know, be, I guess, inspired. It's a good word.
Yes, inspired by a true story. Okay. Well, with that, we don't want to give the whole plot away, but the main character is Yil. He's the son of a rabbi, although he's not devoutly Jewish.
And so
So he says, yes. And the film opens in the back of a German military truck as he's being transported to a camp. It's got a very brutal opening. You do pay attention in the first few minutes as to what happens. So, absolute horror story, really.
Well, I guess so. I mean, that was what was happening then, in the world, in Europe.
What's your personal connection to this story, if any?
Well, I'm Jewish. You know, I grew up kind of tangentially connected to the Holocaust. Grandmothers and, you know, and so on. And it's a topic that really, really has always fascinated me and inspired me in a way.
And so our main character, he swaps a sandwich for a book of Persian legends, and
right.
This is how he manages to avoid being shot himself. And he pretends that he's the man whose name is in the inscription of the book. And then they arrive at this camp, or he's the only one who arrives at the camp and alone, because is he the head of the camp, the guy who wants to learn Farsi?
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the Hauptschulführer Koch in the camp wants to learn Farsi to open a Persian restaurant in Tehran after the war.
Yeah, so was this camp, Vadim, an actual camp? The motto over the gates translated as "to each what he deserves," which is very much the theme of the movie.
Yeah. Actually, the motto over the gates was from Belsen, I believe. It was a combination, you know. The actual camp existed in northern France, and it was called Stutthof something. I forgot what it was exactly called. But it's a combination of things. I mean, it's really, the events are invented you know, but could be true.
And the sets, where did you actually shoot this? Is it in France or Belarus?
No. We shot in Belarus. Yeah, we shot in a town called Bobrusk in Belarus. Yeah.
Well, absolutely amazing scenery. And did you have to build the sets there?
Yeah, we did. You know, there was the main structure existed. And actually, it was very, very interesting because it used to be a Gestapo, unit during the war. And then after that, it was NKVD, the Russian KGB kind of unit. And then in the middle of this, you know, pie structure, we built the kitchen and the office and all that. Yeah.
Oh, so it's actually a place and you just built around it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we found the actual place.
Okay, so let's go back to the two leads who are superbly played, and the officer who wants to learn Farsi, a very complex character, and they play off each other very well, don't they? So tell us about these two actors.
What do you want to know about them?
Well, where are they from, and our lead chap, where's he from?
Noel Biscayart is from Argentina, my actor. And, I found him through a very extensive search all over the world. Did a lot of casting and found the guy that I thought that was perfect for the role. And then the Nazis played by Lars Eidinger, who I think is a wonderful German actor. I really respect him. I love him for his work.
There was an on-set translator. So how difficult was it working with people who spoke different languages? Or what was the main language that everyone spoke? French?
We spoke English. English among each other. Yeah. The script originally was written in Russian. I translated it to English. And then somebody in Berlin kept translating it to German and so on.
Ah, I see. So, in terms of the German characters in there, the SS soldiers, there's a great deal of dislikable characters in the German cast. And I just wondered what the reaction has been like in Germany. I was reading that it got a few laughs in places.
You know, strangely positive. And that's strangely positive. It was actually very surprisingly so. They loved it. You know, it premiered at Berlin Film Festival, and it was super successful there. And there was a 15-minute standing ovation. And, it was actually quite surprising that it was that kind of response.
And what was the comedic element that the German audiences saw in that?
Oh, you'd have to ask them, actually.
Right.
Because, in the film, really, there was one joke built in. They found humor in it. They found a lot of humor, which I actually I think it's about nervous laughter for a lot of them. That's my theory. Not sure.
Yeah, I think that might be a very good theory because it must be really difficult for Germans to keep reliving the Holocaust, a great deal of shame as a nation, and to watch a film of this nature.
The Germans, as I found out, the Germans have been indoctrinated since childhood for feeling the shame and in schools and so on. Actually, it was so difficult for them to even Sieg Heil, to do that gesture.
Yes,
because it was so weird for them to do that. You know, me, a Jewish person, had to train them how to do Sieg Heil. Just quite ironic.
To do that, right? Well, I don't want to give too much away, but he teaches the camp leader a language that's completely made up and fools them into believing that it is Farsi. Using quite an a good method, really, given that he was having to write the names in the camp book of those who'd come through the gates.
So what was your question, sorry?
Yeah, no, I was just thinking to myself how he did that without giving too much of the plot away because, you know, I don't want to say exactly what happened throughout the film, those who are going to go and see it. But, yeah, the picnic part of it was very chilling and the officers and the soldiers enjoying a day out and the food that they were eating was so lavish. And was that your research on that? Did you find that in those camps the soldiers and the officers ate well?
Did I find that they eat well?
In your research on the film.
Of course they eat well. You know, they had the best of the food. You know, they had the private chefs. And that was, yeah, I did find that in my research.
And an awful lot of producers you had on this movie, Vadim.
Yes.
So like something like, I stopped counting after a while. Why does the film need so many producers?
The money, my friend.
They
brought the money.
Right.
That's exactly it. And therefore, they earned their name and the credit.
Very good. Well, very good. It opens tomorrow, Persian Lessons in New Zealand. And so thank you for joining us tonight from Moscow.
Oh, man. I am so happy you guys, you know, opened up your theaters and, you know, and I'm so happy to have that release.
I want to
thank you guys for that.
Thank you for joining us. Good to talk to you.
You're welcome.
It's Vadim Perelman talking about his new movie, Persian Letters. And sorry for the sound quality there, but we were quite some way away. He was on the phone from Moscow rather than a Zoom call. So hopefully you heard most of that. And I didn't want to give too much of the plot away. You know, that's the beginning of it. And obviously it's quite a horrifying film, really, in so many ways, as you can imagine.